If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps me out a lot. Cheers.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Jed, it's Dale again. I know you're probably sick of me, but I just realized I want to hear your thoughts on Ender's Game, and in particular, how to structure a twist that lasts until the last few chapters of the book. Let me know what you think of that.
Hello, and welcome to the Novel Analyst Podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of the upcoming fantasy novella Fires of the Dead, and this episode is titled Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card, Writing Twists. And of course, there will be spoilers ahead. So super quickly before I get into this episode, I just wanted to let you know that if you're listening to this podcast and you enjoy my take on writing advice, then you will love my new YouTube channel that I'm putting out. So if you use the link in the show notes or just go to YouTube and type in Jed Hearn Daily Writing Advice, you can check out my channel. And on that channel, I post daily writing advice videos. So that's a new video on an aspect of the writing craft, 2 to 5 minutes long, every single weekday. There's already, I think, 11 or so episodes up there for you to binge away, and this will probably be making its way into podcast form at some stage, so I will let you know when that comes out as well. So, Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card is a fantastic, somewhat groundbreaking sci-fi novel. It follows a distant future version of Earth where they're preparing for a second alien invasion, and to prepare for this invasion, they recruit these extremely gifted children to go to this battle school in space and to basically train to become the military tacticians that will fight in this oncoming war. And one of those students, one of those young children who is taken up there, is called Ender Wiggin. Now, what you need to know about Ender Wiggin is that he's basically every amazingly competent general you can possibly imagine from history, like, I don't know, Napoleon, Machiavelli, Alexander the Great, every kind of general like that pales in comparison to Ender's talent. He is ferociously vicious, amazingly erudite, and he comes up with solutions to problems that no one else could ever see. But I'm not talking so much about Ender's character in this episode, although I do think that he is a fascinating character in his own right. What I want to discuss today are twists, because a good twist can leave readers stunned in the best way possible. And likewise, a bad twist, that can leave a bad taste in your mouth. So, I've boiled this down to 4 key aspects of writing a good twist. And of course there are more, and I would love to hear your suggestions for more. You can tweet me at Jed Hearn on Twitter. But here are the kind of 4 big elements of a successful twist, which I think Orson Scott Card pulled off magnificently in Ender's Game. And of course, like I said before, but I will say it again, there will be spoilers in this episode. In fact, I'm going to spoil things right now by telling you what the big twist is. So, as I mentioned, the reason why Ender has been recruited to go to this futuristic battle school set in a space station is to prepare for an alien invasion. Now, at around the start of the third act, he is shipped off to basically fight in some more rigorous practice battles. So, battles that are against a simulated horde of the entire alien armada. And he fights his way through these and does really well and, like, does unorthodox tactics to basically decimate his way through this simulated alien combat. So he gets to the end of these, he's gone through all the tests. He's thinking that this is just like a simulated game, sort of, where, you know, he's just testing his tactics and stuff. And he's been told that after he's done all these tests and after he's successfully passed these video game-esque missions, he will be shipped off to fight and, well, shipped off to command the real battle. But the twist is, when he defeats that last level of the game, the admirals tell him that he'd really been fighting the aliens the whole time. So all this time that he thought he was just directing video game ships, and that no one was really on the other side of the screen, and that it wasn't just a real battle, it was a real battle. And all this time he'd been fighting his way through the alien armada and decimating them. And by the end, he's essentially committed genocide. He's decimated this entire alien population. He's eradicated their culture. And he just thought it was in a video game. So as you can imagine, this is a pretty mind-blowing twist. What's even more mind-blowing, and one of the reasons why I wanted to discuss this novel, is that I knew that twist before I had even started reading the book. Because in a very un-Jed fashion, I had watched the movie before reading the book, which is not a good idea. But even though I knew the twist, the story was still a solid 9 out of 10, and I'm looking forward to rereading it at some stage in the future. And I think there's something really important in that. The fact that the story was so good, even though I knew the twist going in, is a sign that it was just well constructed. And that brings me to my first point here about how to write a good twist. Don't rely on a great twist to lift a mediocre story. So a bad story might mean, for instance, that your readers don't even reach the twist. And this is certainly the case here. So even though that I'd watched the movie like a week before reading the book, even though I knew exactly what was going to happen, the story was just so well constructed. Ender was such an amazing character that it didn't matter that I knew how it was going to turn out. It didn't matter that I knew the twist, that I knew the spoiler. And as a little sidebar, that's been my exact experience with Fight Club as well. I knew the exact twist going in for that, which I'm not going to spoil for you. But it still meant that it was a really good novel. So that was number one. Don't rely on a great twist to lift a mediocre story. So your story should be good in and of itself. And then the twist is like the cherry on top. And I still love the twist, even though I knew it was coming. So number two, your story should be still amazing, or maybe even better, if you know the twist. And I think this is interesting, because if you know the twist, you're kind of reading with an extra lens, an extra dimension available to you that other readers don't have. And maybe you get this because you've reread it a second time. I have one friend who's reread Ender's Game like 7 or 8 times. It's his favorite book. But what I'm getting at here is that you probably want to avoid having a twist that detracts from your story. So an example here, my voice is getting a bit dry. An example here would be the cliche, and then he woke up and he realized the whole thing had been a dream. That sucks. Because now when you go back and read that story, the whole time the stakes are eliminated. You're like, oh, this isn't even real. Like, why am I rereading this? But with Ender's Game, when you reread it again, or you read it knowing the twist, the stakes are so much higher, because you're just waiting for Ender to realize the atrocity of what he's done. And when he orders the final strike to decimate this alien race of, you know, like billions of life forms, you're like, no, Ender, don't do it. But he does. And so the tragedy, if anything, is reinforced. And it's worth noting that whole idea of a tragedy for a second, because a tragedy is typically defined by the fact that the reader knows that the main character is going to end up in a worse place than they were at the start. So in, let's say, trying to think of a good Shakespeare example here, Hamlet or something like that, you know that they're going to end up in, no, sorry, Macbeth, I haven't seen Hamlet. My mistakes, Shakespeare fans. So in Macbeth, it's a tragedy. You know it's a tragedy. You know it's going to end up bad. And the interest is not so much in, will it end up bad? Will it end up good? Because you know that. But the interest is in the journey and the downfall and the slow concessions the main character makes along the way, which leads to his inevitable demise. So that was tip number 2. The story should still be amazing, or maybe even better, if you know the twist. Number 3. Consider how the twist can encourage rereading. And I'm going to refer to one of my favorite writing advice books, The Anatomy of Story by John Truby, 22 Steps to Becoming a Master Storyteller. So in chapter 11 of that, which he aptly titles The Never-Ending Story, he has some great thoughts on this point I'm making here, this whole idea of considering how the twist can encourage rereading. So he says, quote, "A great story always ends by signaling to the audience to go back to the beginning and experience it again." End quote. So you've probably had this feeling as a reader. Think about a story you read where as soon as you closed the pages, as soon as you'd finished that last sentence, you immediately wanted to just dive back into the beginning and read it all through again. For me, this happens a lot with Harry Potter. I've reread this whole series probably 10 times, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but we won't get into them in this episode in particular. But there is another quote in here by John Truby, which I think combined with the quote I just gave you will explain why Ender's Game shows a really great use of a twist and how you can use the similar principles in your own writing. Quote, "The simplest way to create the never-ending story is through plot, by ending the story with a reveal. In this technique, you create an apparent equilibrium and then immediately shatter it with one more surprise. This reversal causes the audience to rethink all the characters and actions that have led them to this point. Like a detective who reads the same signs, but sees a very different reality, the audience mentally races back to the beginning of the story and reshuffles the same cards in a new combination." End quote. And I think that's what makes Ender's Game spectacular, because you're very aware upon reaching the end of it that you have in fact been reading the wrong story, and that there is in fact all of these hidden layers which weren't available to you the first time through. But now, as you go back and process that story in your head, the story becomes better because you can see how there were all these other webs being woven around the main character that you weren't aware of. So that was number three. Consider how the twist can encourage rereading, and in fact, make the process of rereading super enjoyable, because now people have accumulated an in-depth knowledge of the world. They've, you know, kind of gone up that learning curve, and now they have a hard-earned level of familiarity with the story. So they want to pay that off by going back and rereading it. And then number four, subconscious setup. So one of the great things that Orson Scott Card does in Ender's Game, which I really didn't put my finger on until I was writing notes for this episode, is foreshadowing twists. And he does this by using smaller twists that establish the tone of the story. So basically what I'm suggesting here is he's using smaller twists almost as a proof of concept, telling readers that, hey, sometimes I'm going to do things and they'll actually be something completely different to what you were expecting. So the great example of this for me is there is a scene during the novel. I don't know exactly where it is. I would say maybe like 60% mark-ish. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong there. Where Ender is getting in a fight with this bully in a bathroom. And Ender like pushes him and he falls back. And the bully like cracks his head on the pavement? On the tiles. And Ender just thinks that the guy's been knocked out. But he's still a bit traumatized from it because there's like a lot of blood everywhere. And Ender is later told before he leaves for this other outpost that the guy is fine. He's just been sent back to Earth because he had a head injury. Big lie. The guy actually was killed. Ender killed this person and he didn't have any idea. He didn't have any idea that he just murdered someone. Which sounds very similar to the ending of the story, where he also doesn't have any idea that he's pushed things too far because no one told him. And so what Orson Scott Card has done here is he's presented the story in miniature. He's given us this little microcosm, this little echo of the wider story arc. And that subconsciously sets us up to accept the bigger twist at the end of the story. So that's our episode. Really enjoyed this episode. Big shout out to Dale from the Reading Gorilla podcast for suggesting this episode. Go check out his podcast. It's very good. He has a really good soothing radio reading voice. I think just to end this, you know, what I love about Ender's Game, and I want to reiterate this just a bit before we wrap, is this idea of not being reliant on one thing, not being a one-trick pony. Because if your story is just about the twist, you know, maybe if it's a really good twist, you can get away with it, but it needs to be about something more than that. It's not enough to just have a really good twist or just one really good one-liner, one good bit of dialogue. Stories are really a cohesive collection, a narrative that weaves together all these different threads. And Ender's Game is a fantastic example of that. It's not just about the story. It's not just about the plot. It's not just about the characters. It's not just about the twist. It's about everything. And that's why it's so fantastic. Thank you so much for listening to the Novel Analyst Podcast. Like I said, this episode was inspired by a listener emailing me in. So if you have any ideas for future episodes, obviously can't guarantee that I'll get around to them, but feel free to send me an email, jed.herne1@gmail.com. That's jed.herne1@gmail.com, or use the link in the show notes below. Feel free to email me in and give me some ideas for stories that I should analyze on this podcast. I read and respond to every single email that you sent me. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.